Hello, I'm Mark Tiley, and welcome along to another My Tunes podcast right here at manxradio.com.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
I think I would be better placed at the back of the grandstand, TT Grandstand, in the old Shore Shop, the Manx Radio Shore Shop studio, because my guest, Sarah Jarvis, was queen of said residence for many, many years. Sarah Jarvis, welcome to My Tunes.
Hello, Mark. I'd like to be queen somewhere. That's rather a nice thought, actually.
Well, it was your domain. It was our domain. And for those many, many years working together round the back of the grandstand. And it's not a euphemism, by the way. Thank you. Behave. It was great fun, wasn't it?
It was great fun. And the weather came and went.
Yes.
Mostly went, yeah. Actually. Sometimes it was sunny and it was gorgeous. And we had the front of that shop opened up and we had people eating ice cream and sitting on deck chairs. And other times we were huddled together for warmth.
Yes,
Mark.
We were. Mm-hmm. We were purely for warmth. Honestly, Judge. Honestly. So those days, you came over, we were just talking, you came over to the Isle of Man about 30 years ago. Yes. With your husband's job.
Yes.
Not your job.
Nope, I didn't have a job at that point. I was mummy at that point.
Oh, right. So when did the Shore adventure start?
I actually went and did a degree at the business school and then stayed working there for a little while. That was when my kids were quite small. So I stayed there. I had a little stint somewhere else and ended up at Shore. And yeah, it was a fab job. Hard work getting that TT underway, you know, getting that shop sorted out and the products and everything. It was very hard work, but it was a lot of fun.
I think your commitment and Shaw's commitment to the sidecars was a huge part of that era.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, just the smell of the grease paint and the roar of the crowd. It was that kind of thing. But, you know, the sidecar paddock was astonishing. And there's not so much glamour in that bit as there are with some of the bigger guys. And they really were grateful for any of the support that came our way. And, yeah, Shaw did a really good job putting that on the map, I think.
Because it's always been a hard sell, the sidecars. You don't get the same, well, you can go and buy that Honda motorbike. You can buy that BMW motorbike. Try and buy this. You'll be on your hands and knees. For two years.
Feats of engineering, they really are.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So I think all of us who work with that side, thank you and Shaw for those years. Yep. Great commitment.
It was fabulous. It was lots and lots of fun. Lots of hard work, as we say, but lots of fun.
Yeah. Commitment to music. As we're sitting here, may I tell you that Sarah's not only just been away to see Simple Minds, but also Echo and the Bunnymen.
Yes, last night that was.
Gosh,
actually. Maybe not when this goes out, but yes, just fresh off the plane this morning from having seen them.
Well, thank you. You love live music.
I absolutely love live music. We've just had a little bit of a hiatus, I suppose, for some personal reasons, but as often as we can go, yes, and some of that stuff is captured in my tunes really this week.
Well, we're going to talk about what you just alluded to tomorrow. But let's get straight into a fantastic track. Well, of course, there'll be Simple Minds later in the week. But let's have something from the Bee Gees and talk us into this.
A little sort of secret love, I suppose, for disco. And a particularly fond memories of the movie Saturday Night Fever, which I snuck in to see at the age of 12. I'd like to point out. So it was an X movie and I should have been 18.
Was it an X when it came out?
Yes, well, it's very rude.
Yeah, why?
Yes,
you know,
quite,
you forget,
quite
don't
rude.
You forget.
Yes. So a couple of girlfriends from school, we put on some heels and tottered our way into an Odeon in Colchester where I was growing up at that point. Probably shouldn't have been allowed in, but in we went. And I was transfixed. I was transfixed by John Travolta. I was transfixed by the dancing. I was absolutely blown away by the music. And still love that movie now. I mean, clearly it's dated in terms of the fashion and all that stuff, but I think the music is just phenomenal. So loved it since I was 12. And then, of course, an Isle of Man connection when we got here, which is just magnificent.
So let's have it. Which track are we going to have?
I think I choose Night Fever because just the opening of that track and I can just see the dancing and it's just magnificent.
Baby.
My MyTunes guest this week is Sarah Jarvis, a lover of music and TT fan and huge part of Shore during the Halcyon days when they did so much for the sidecar lads and lasses here on the Isle of Man. You mentioned it yesterday, Sarah. We're going to talk about it today. Cancer. It came and shook your world big time.
Absolutely. And it's quite timely, I suppose, you know, with the Princess of Wales having been pushed into a corner and having to admit what she's going through as well. And there'll be people listening to this who will really identify with that when they heard that last week and will probably identify with what I'm going to talk about too. I've tried really hard in this last month, in the month of March before this is going out, but which is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month, and I've tried to maybe use a bit of my marketing and my comms kind of messaging, things that I can do around raising awareness of ovarian cancer, because I was officially diagnosed with that last spring with very few symptoms, which is shocking. So when it boiled down to it, I was stage 3, you know, in an advanced kind of stage, and headed into chemo. So it's a pretty brutal time, but I say no more than lots of other families also have to endure.
So the symptoms weren't that strong. So you had no idea?
No, absolutely none. I wasn't working for Shore. I was working for another business here, and I was actually made redundant from that. So 2023 was the year that just kept on giving.
Yeah.
And probably because I stopped that job, wasn't traveling up and down to the Channel Islands as I was doing for work a lot, I sort of took note of the fact I had a bit of a low-grade kind of tummy pain and back pain, and went to the GP, had a brilliant GP, I'm delighted to say, and proceeded to send me for some tests, and that came back with that result. So it's a naughty thing.
And how did things progress from there for you?
So lots of tests, I suppose. I mean, you know, again, anybody who's been through it will know it's sort of, you go from ultrasound, you go to MRI, you go to CT scans, and then you end up in chemo. So chemo saw me losing my locks, so completely bald at that point, which is a terrible thing for any woman to go through, or probably anybody really. But so much of your identity is bound up in your hair and stuff and the way you look, so it was pretty hard. And then you just kind of grind your way through chemo, and I'm now on a different sort of drug regime, really, just to try and get me as long a future as we possibly can.
So where are you now in the scheme of this cancer?
So I had 4 chemos, that's all happens on the island. Then I had major surgery in Liverpool Women's, come back, more chemo, because that has to mop up the stuff that they might have disturbed while they open you up, unzip you, basically. Then I'm now into what they call maintenance drugs, and they're quite modern drugs, actually. They've probably really only been largely available to people for the last few years. So if there was going to be a good time, not that there is a good time to get ovarian cancer, but there are drugs which will hopefully give me some hope.
I was reading up a bit about all this earlier, and I was very, very impressed to see that they're now tailoring the chemo to the particular cancer as tightly as possible, so it does the least amount of damage and the maximum impact on that particular cancer.
Yes, that's exactly right. So that's particularly the case with the maintenance drugs. You have to have a sort of certain kind of genetics or a certain kind of cancer to respond favourably to those drugs. Chemo is a bit more broad brush. It's cytotoxic, as they say, basically, you know, hence one dose of one of those drugs was enough to make me lose my hair. It's that naughty.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's very, very powerful stuff. And you know, as fable will say, you know, your people are just curled up in a ball and they feel very sick and they feel very ill and very tired. It takes your sort of red blood cells and hemoglobin, and you get very breathless, and you know, it's a really kind of brutal thing, you know. And I have alluded in previous chats that everything changes. Your whole view on the world is completely affected by a cancer diagnosis, but I say many of your listeners will really identify with that.
Sarah, thank you for covering that ground. We could not leave that out, obviously.
Thank you.
And thank you for your honesty and telling us all that. Simple Minds, Alive and Kicking. A great track, a band that we both adore. You saw them last month. Still going strong, are they?
Still going very strong. So the original two members of Jim Kerr and Charlie Burchill on the guitar, still sounding as amazing as they ever did. And that bond, I think, between them has been often written about. You know, they've known each other since they were little lads, really, in Glasgow. Really know how to put on a show. The opening strains with the light show that, you know, we saw, this was in Birmingham, we saw them just out of this world. And it was a bit of a greatest hits with a few very early tracks thrown in, you know, sort of, there were probably some people there who wouldn't have recognised them. But, you know, to a diehard fan, I think I bought my first album of theirs in 1981. So, yeah, I've loved them all the time.
Let's hear it, Alive and Kicking. My MyTunes guest all this week is Sarah Jarvis. And I want today, Sarah, to take you back to the earliest musical memories you've got. When you first thought, oh, I love that, or I like that, or stuck something on your bedroom wall. Do you remember the first sort of tunes that really floated your boat back in the day?
Well, I'm the youngest of my siblings by quite a long way. So I suppose you get dragged along by older brothers and sisters. And one of my very earliest memories, it was probably 1969 or 1970. I was a really little girl, as my brother had Bridge Over Troubled Water and just played that album to death. So I definitely picked up some musical influences from them. My eldest sister, big Motown fan. So, yep, love that. Maybe that's where my love of a bit of disco comes from as well. Next sister was, you know, things like Robert Palmer and I don't know, various other bits and bobs. Just loved that stuff. Maybe some Who in there. Then disco got me. Yeah. Sort of 1977, 78, 79. Kind of loved a bit of that. And then I actually met the current Mr. Jarvis, I should say. I'm joking. I met Andrew when I was 14 and he was 18. So we started really influencing each other's music, you know, from that teenage perspective. And he was really, really into punk. So, I mean, that's another thing. So punk and new wave, massively important to me as well.
That's very interesting to meet your husband at that age. And I think it's quite rare for that to have worked to the extent that it
absolutely
does.
Absolutely. You know. So 40 years married next year.
Yeah.
Had the three kids. Not without its ups and downs, as every single marriage has indeed. But, you know, he's been amazing to me on, you know, obviously we touched base on my health yesterday. And he's been my strength and my stay, as the other queen would have said, you know, in sickness and in health. We've had real testing times in this last year or so. So he's been amazing. And yeah, we still absolutely love our music together.
And do you remember the first, let's say, big gig? In other words, not the Scout Hut, but the first big gig you went to?
Do you know, it was Devo.
Oh,
it was Devo.
Yeah.
And it was, I was in Canada for the summer because my older sister lives in Vancouver. And I was there for the summer. And yeah, went to see Devo. Absolutely stark raving mad.
Oh, with the funny hats.
Oh, absolutely.
The weird hats.
Yep, the flower putty kind of hats. Absolutely mad.
I didn't get them, but I quite liked them.
Yep. And then I said, yeah, I know what you mean. Different. And then probably one of the first, well, they weren't big then, but they certainly are now, was seeing U2 probably in about 1981. And they were tiny. I think the second album was just about to come out, the album October. And they became my boys for many, many years. You know, seen them live probably five times. And around the same time, discovered Simple Minds. And, you know, away we went.
Well, I've asked that question of a few people. Devo will go down in the records.
I'd have to be different.
That's perfect. What would your first be? Devo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we are. Are we not we men?
Are, yes, well, no, we are Devo. Exactly. Absolutely mad.
Rolling Stones, day three. Fantastic. Tell me more.
I suppose there was always that thing, do you have to be a Rolling Stones person or a Beatles person? And I am definitely a Rolling Stones person. Always was, you know, always was and always will be. Seen them live a couple of times, very lucky. With the passage of time in between them, I think 1990 was the first time I saw them. That was at the old Main Road Stadium. And then Andrew and I saw them in Liverpool at Anfield a couple of years ago. And even at the age of 80, and their gnarly hands and their Keith still looking half dead. Absolutely phenomenal live. And this particular track, I mean, you know, again, how do you choose your favourite Stones song? But it was one of those, I always thought, if I heard that song and then was dispatched, you know, basically you could die happy. Having heard this song, I think it's just an astonishing piece of work. It makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end. Absolutely love this track.
Here it is, Gimme Shelter.
Thank you.
Sarah Jarvis is my Maichin's guest all this week. We've come round from the back of the grandstand. We've talked very hard, fast and straight about cancer. And we've talked a lot about music. I want to ask you a question, Sarah. Can you make plans now for the future, or are you literally having to take it day by day?
It's very tempting to crawl back into your house and not leave. And I was getting a bit worried about myself for a little while there because, you know, I'm quite extrovert and I was getting to the point where I didn't really want to see people or, you know, and it's partly the way you look if you lose your hair when you're a girl and, you know, it takes a bit of explaining. And I don't want people feeling sorry for me, you know, that look of, I mean, of course people feel sorry for me, but like, you know, that sort of pity, I suppose, that you see in people's faces. You know, in that oft used thing, where there's life, there's hope. Well, where there's life, there's hope. I have 3 grown-up kids. I have a husband. I have 2 big hairy golden retrievers. I have a wider family, and I am blessed with my friends. And all of that is what keeps you going. And this, not the notion of staying alive, but living well, I suppose, should probably apply to all of us, really, you know, and the tendency to not live in the present. Your instincts are sharpened, I suppose, when you get a diagnosis like this. Who knows what the future brings for any of us? When you've had that knock on the door, you do really want to make the best of it. Hence, the going to gigs still. It's quite exhausting, I have to say. I mean, I you know, I just probably have to kind of have an afternoon in bed after I've gone and had a big night out. I'm a bit tired from the treatments and stuff, but it's so life affirming. You know, music's so life affirming. Trips are so life affirming. You know, we're starting our bucket list, planning for some really lovely holidays, because if I get another 10 years, you know, as I've said, we'll have done it. If I don't get that long, then we'll have done it. You know, so actually there's no reason not to do it. And I think that's the way we should all live, really. And it does bring that home. So, yeah, we've, you know, plotting some nice trips, African safari and, yeah, some Maldives and just, you know, those kind of city breaks and seeing the family. And, yeah, you have to live and you have to plan and you have to live.
Very, very, very positive. Now, I must tell you, we're doing an extra bit this particular MyTunes. There'll be a big wodge of extra stuffage on the podcast, which will be released at 12:05 today. So if you want to get hold of that, well, I commend it to you, actually, already. But this is an inspirational song to finish up the week on MyTunes, Bruce Springsteen.
Well, what can you say about Bruce? He is just astounding. And I've touched on the fact that, you know, I said I met my husband when I was 14 and he was 18. So, you know, we're childhood sweethearts. And one of the things he did was wrote the lyrics of Born to Run on my O-level French folder, basically. So, like, it was a song that always, always meant a lot to us. We talk about life-affirming experiences, I suppose, you know, and seeing Bruce live was... We just after we got married, actually, we were kids when we got married, sort of 19 and 21 or whatever when we got married, and we saw Bruce on that Born in the USA tour in 1985, which goes down in the annals of history. Oh, yeah. I think as a bit of a whopper, that one, and always wanted to do it again. So just so happened that very, very quickly after my cancer diagnosis, like a day or so, we were flying out to Rome and we went to see Bruce live in the Circus Maximus, and it poured with
yes,
rain.
It was really wet,
wasn't
it? It was
knee deep in
mud. And he
mud.
Still did 4 hours, didn't he?
He still did it in the rain. He was just phenomenal. I mean, as we know, his energy and his professionalism and his you know, complete works of Springsteen kind of thing is just his catalogue is astounding. There was a real poignancy, I suppose, about Born to Run, you know, being one of our songs, you know, that having just been delivered that definitive news over the last, you know, probably 2 days before we went, it was a bit emotional, I have to say. But what a song. Still, again, incredible.
Well, we'll play it now. As I say, a lot more with Sarah on the podcast. But for now, Sarah Jarvis, thank you for coming on to MyTunes.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
At night we ride to mansions of glory and sin.
Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run. Welcome to the podcast, by the way. And it's not raining in here, but my goodness me, I saw pictures of that gig when you were over in Italy. It was torrential.
It was biblical. I mean, there were thunderstorms, I mean, huge thunderstorms. Everybody was kind of dressed in Pacamacs that they'd had to, you know, buy the poncho-y things. And the banks of the circus, Maximus, are very steep. And so people were putting their plastic down to sit on it and then just slithering down. I mean, obviously, it's mind-blowing to think, you know, you're in a space that is that old and has seen that much drama and history, I suppose. And then to, you know, see one of your all-time heroes, you know, perform there was just phenomenal.
It's a big space as well.
Huge.
It's massive.
Huge space.
When we talked about your cancer diagnosis and the treatment, we touched upon getting people aware of themselves and getting themselves checked out. And you're a real ambassador for this, aren't you?
Yes. I sort of feel like it's become my job almost now, you know. And there's part of me I'm a real people pleaser. And there's part of me that would worry that I'm, you know, annoying people by keeping on and on about it. And then this other part of me says, if I saved one woman from going through this, or a woman that you loved or one of your listeners loved, who has been saying, do you know, actually, I get really full when I eat, and, you know, I've got a bit of a tummy ache, or just, you know, I now have to pee 16 times during the night or whatever. Admittedly, I had none of those symptoms, but, you know, those are the classic symptoms. And I think the message is, and that would be borne out by the onco-gyne team at the hospital as well, if it doesn't feel right for you, if these are new symptoms, you know your body better than anybody else does. And those symptoms are so non-specific, and there would be a tendency for them to say, oh, you know, you're a lady of a certain age, it must be menopause, or, you know, it's diverticulitis, or it's IBS, or it's, you know, there's any number of things. And sadly, a very large number of women, not necessarily just on the Isle of Man, but a very large number of women is sort of dismissed and sent away. And that's why they call it this silent disease, because it's, you know, you're sent away. And by the time they find it, it's
time for action.
It's time for action, and has probably passed the time for action. Yeah, and you're into stage three or stage four.
Right. Sarah, thank you. We're going to end with, I've got the classics, the four we've had, the Bee Gees, Simple Minds, Rolling Stones, Bruce Springsteen, a relatively new boy for your bonus track.
My Sammy Fender. So my soon-to-be son-in-law, my daughter and Connor are getting married, Rachel and Connor are getting married on the 18th of May, so very soon to be my son-in-law. He had told me, I think I might have heard of him, but he introduced me really to Sam Fender several years ago now, probably 5 years ago. And having sort of said, you know, how much I love Bruce Springsteen, Sam is very, very influenced by Bruce. And there's actually another band, American band called The War on Drugs, who he also introduced me to. Again, very, very similar sort of vibe. And that was really hard to choose which of all of these tracks. You know, I say it's like choosing a favourite child. It's really hard. But this particular track by Sam Fender, it's called All Is On My Side. It's not one of his big ones, but it is one of the most beautiful songs I think I've ever heard. It's perfect guitar, perfect sax, beautiful live. He's always really surprised, apparently, that people love it so much. But there's a earnest boyishness to this song, I suppose. I think he was probably only about 17 or 18, or I may be talking rubbish, but he was a lot younger than he is now when he wrote this song. And he happened to be supporting Bruce Springsteen in Rome when we went to see him, which was a complete, literally, Brucey bonus. And I hadn't known when I bought the Springsteen tickets. So he did a set of about six tracks. All the Italians and just people in the audience didn't know who he was, and they were all talking all the way through it. I have seen him live maybe four times before that. And just the wonderment, I suppose, on Sam's face to be meeting Bruce Springsteen, to be supporting Bruce Springsteen, to be playing live in Italy, and to be able to get his kind of tunes out there. And it was such a highlight of that day for me. And I love him. I love his music. I think, you know, good, solid, driving guitar, great lyrics. He's, you know, he's a proper product of his place as well, you know, like just as the Beatles are from Liverpool, and you know, he's a product of the of Newcastle, and he's so Newcastle, I should say, and so proud of that, and so woven in with him and his lyric, I suppose, and who he is a really authentic person, I think, which is quite rare in these days of social media and all the rest of it. I think what you see is what you get with him, and this track is absolutely my favourite, and it's a magnificent song.
Let's take it now. And once again, Sarah, thank you for this. Obviously, we wish you every little bit of luck and prayer and love for getting through all this.
Thank you.
Malarkey.
It is a malarkey.
Yeah. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Take me back to your bed. All is on my side.
Sam Fender, All Is On My Side. A wonderful bonus track from my fabulous guest, who all this week has been Sarah Jarvis. I'm Mark Tiley. Come back when you can for more podcasts here at manxradio.com. And don't forget to join me in the morning, Monday to Friday, 9:30 to 12, for the Manx Radio Morning Show. I'll see you then, all being well.